A few weeks ago, the Democrats wasn't doing too well. For me, it was kind of like watching a white dude try to qualify for the 100-meter final. Did you see that?
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah, you get that vibe? That's how I kind of felt about it. But now it's a complete 180. Yeah.
Now, this is a PG-13 program, but can we talk about the pole vaulters for a second?
Oh, yeah. I feel like they all need better underwear.
What Republicans are doing,
they're
really trying to diminish her and play in her face, and really play in everybody's faces. Yes.
Black folks, sometimes we may need an intervention too. The vice presidential candidate's name is Tim Walz. And here we go, calling him Waltz. Look, I was calling him Waltz at first. I kind of like Waltz better, I don't know why. There's no T. We just find letters to add to everything. Do we as Black people get a pass for that?
Of course we do. We just add a little seasoning. We just add a little extra razzle
dazzle.
So that's what I think.
It's Lowry's. Hey there. Welcome to Wait a Minute, a show where we tell the truth, take the conversation out of the group chat, and kiki with friends. I'm Joyelle Nicole Johnson. Joining me is my girl, political strategist and founder of Watering Hole Media, the reason for the season, Ashley Allison.
Hey.
And our guest today is SiriusXM host Reese Colbert.
Hey y'all!
Welcome.
Yes. All right, y'all. You know, like a few weeks ago, the Democrats wasn't doing too well. For me, it was kind of like watching a white dude try to qualify for the 100-meter final. Did you see that?
Yeah. I get that.
Yeah,
you get that
vibe. That's how I kind of felt about it. But now it's a complete 180.
How y'all feeling about it?
Okay. I don't think I realized how tense I was.
You
don't know what you need until you get it sometimes. I feel really good. I still think it's gonna be a tough 90 or 80 some days to election day. But I feel the possibility of a new day.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, brand new day. That's how I was feeling. I could hear the whiz song in my head.
Yay.
Everybody look around. You know, and I just want to be honest, I haven't been this excited about an old white man since Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade.
Which old white man though?
VP Walz.
Walls.
Walls.
From the window.
From the window to the wall.
To the wall.
Yes, that guy. I like him.
Yeah.
How you feel?
You know what I feel? I feel kind of euphoric a little bit. You know, like the Montgomery uprising.
I feel like we just whop
these Republicans with a chair because, I mean, the energy feels just like we've reclaimed, you know, from this kind of really dark, like Project 2025, white crystal nationalists uprising. And now it's like, okay, Black is the new Black again. And I'm kind of feeling that.
Yeah. Okay, so wait, can we talk though about how we got here? And I know there's a lot of talk about Vice President Harris and who's at the top of the ticket, but can I just say for me, it's just a reminder that like when it's your time, nobody can stop it.
Period.
It's like, it's just going to happen and not needing to feel so rushed, but it just happens, you know?
It happens when it's supposed to
happen. It happens when it's supposed to happen.
Yeah, and that's how I kind of feel about it, you know, in my life, because people try to tell us, especially as women, life is over once you get into your 30s and your 40s and 50s, but I'm like, life is kind of feeling like it's just beginning because Kamala is 59, I'm 42. I'm like, oh, I got so many more years before 59, and I'm going to be on an Oscar stage with 59.
Yes. Name and acclaiming.
Yes. I feel like I'm in puberty now.
You're right.
At 42, you know? Some would call it menopause, other would call it puberty. I don't know. But like,
if you was pregnant, it would be geriatric.
Right. But I think like for me, I see this and I kind of had a breakdown when I turned 40. I was so excited to be 40, but then I got to be 40 and I was like, this is not what I thought my life was going to look like. And to see her, you know, some people call us childless cat ladies, but other, like to see her be a Black woman without children who got married later in life, I'm like, life is really just beginning for so many of us.
Yeah. Yes. I honestly, personally think you should not be allowed to get married in your 20s. I think it should be illegal. I think kids and marriage should not be able to happen before the age of 30. That's just my personal theory. But
yeah, I'm a little cougar, so my husband, you know, he got married in his 20s.
Yes.
But I was in my 30s, so I don't know. We kind of half got that.
Okay.
I love that for you.
I like that. How many years separated are y'all?
Five.
Okay.
Yeah, but who's counting?
Me and my man is 6 years, so it's like a little cougarino.
There we go.
My mom was a cougar now that I think of it. Yes. She married her, my dad was an athlete, and she was older than him by like 7 years.
I love that for her. And athlete.
She was the beginning of the cougar age, you know?
Listen, I'm not mad at it.
I could be a cougar too.
Why not?
We gonna put that energy. The young ones are great. They carry stuff. Up the stairs.
Yeah. Their backs don't hurt.
Listen, we go grocery shopping. He gets all the bags out the back seat of the car.
Well, I don't even go into the grocery store.
Ooh.
I don't do the grocery shopping.
Yeah. I don't either, actually.
I'm like, I went to the grocery store. I was like, oh, this stuff is $7 up in here. I thought it used to be $2.99. That's how long it's been. It's not been to the grocery store because my husband does all that. But yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, a little role reversal.
No, I mean, who defines the roles? We're pushing back against all of that.
Speaking of which,
yeah,
the vice president has the most supportive husband.
Does she not? Yes.
And it's like a demonstration of what it looks like, you know, the old Tammy Wynette song, Stand By Your Man. He's like, I'm standing by my lady, who is a boss, who runs the world. And it's just a refreshing take on what life can look like. It's the new normal, shall we say. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think my favorite tweet was somebody posted, she should be Madam President, but he should just still be Doug.
And
introducing Madam President and Doug. That was my favorite thing that's come out.
But one thing I kind of love about what VP represents is that, you know, there's so many ways that people try to say what your path is, you know, your pedigree, your racial background, your education, and all of these things. And, you know, when she was coming up, she wasn't Ivy League educated like a lot of her Democratic contenders in the past. You know, she got, as you mentioned earlier, she got married at a later age. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of different ways that she didn't come up the traditional way, even though obviously she has the resume that a presidential nominee would have, vice president, senator, AG, and all those things. But she still got it on her own terms, which I love, because there is so much of our society that says that you have to have this exact background or you have to have this exact degree. And that's not what she's giving. And yet she's killing it.
Yeah. I think that it's about the stories that we are told versus the stories we allow to tell ourselves. No one gets to write your story but yourself.
Yeah.
But for so long, white male patriarchy have been the writers of the story that we thought, okay, in order to ever become the president, you need to be white, you need to be male, you need to have gone to an Ivy League school. Barack Obama interrupted one piece with being black.
Yeah.
Joe Biden actually interrupted another piece about not going to an Ivy League.
Yep.
And I believe Kamala Harris might interrupt the final piece, is that you don't actually have to be a man to be president.
I like that interruption.
I'm ready for it.
We are behind. Like, to be the, as we call ourselves, the leaders of the free world, many other countries have understood the assignment, and that when you put a woman in charge, things often get better.
Period.
And specifically, you know, back in the pandemic times, all of the countries that had female leaders handled the pandemic the best.
How about that?
I wonder why.
Mm-hmm.
Things that make you go,
Black folks, sometimes we may need an intervention too. And it ain't just us. The vice presidential candidate's name is Tim Walz. To the window, to the walls. And here we go, calling him Waltz. Look, I was calling him Waltz at first. I kind of like Waltz better. I don't know why, but that's not my business. There's no tea. We just find letters to add to everything. Do we as Black people get a pass for that?
Of course we do. We just add a little seasoning. We just add a little extra razzle
it's
down.
Seasoning.
So that's what I think.
It's Lowry's.
Yeah.
Some Lowry's.
That's it.
Okay. I don't even hear myself saying the T, but I do it.
And you do?
I do, but I know how to say Walls because my mom's maiden name is literally W-A-L-L-S.
Okay.
Her real name is Walls.
Yeah.
But when you put that L-Z, it's something about putting that T in. It seems like a priority. Now, what I will say is I don't hear myself saying Waltz. But so I don't mind being corrected. But there's a difference between intentionally saying Kamala, Kamala, not Kamala.
Yes. Yeah.
Her real and correct pronunciation versus Waltz, because that's the way our ear hits and hears it. So when you hear somebody say it wrong, do you correct people?
When they say Kamala wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got in trouble. Somebody got pissed off at me. And I was like, it's just the correction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's how you say her name. It's Kamala. I mean, to me, it rolls off a little easier. But I give some grace to Black people because we always got to do a little extra. Because to me, Kamala, it's to me, that takes more work to say than Kamala. So it depends. Like a Black person, I'll probably be like, okay, you know, Black people, we be saying names wrong.
Yeah.
But what Republicans are doing,
yes.
They're really trying to diminish her and play in her face and really play in everybody's faces and try to say, I don't even have to bother to say her name. And so to me, I think that there is a difference between being disrespectful, trying to minimize you, to reject the fact that you're having to pronounce a Black ethnic name, even though it's technically Indian. But you know what I'm saying? Like, she a Black woman with an Indian name. That is where I draw the line.
Yeah, yeah. It's intent.
Also, and I know that from experience with my simple name, two syllables, Joy, L, I think that rolls off the tongue. People fight it hard. I get called everything from Joelle to Julia. Julia is my favorite because I'm like, you're just not even listening or caring. Mm-hmm. And people get upset when I correct them.
Yeah.
They get upset where I'm just like, hey, I'm Joelle. And they'll be like, that's what I said. No, you didn't.
Yeah.
I can hear. I also know my name. Mm-hmm. But people get upset and I will still correct them. So it's something about people just don't like to be corrected.
There's
and
that.
I understand that, but also, come on, get people's names right.
Mm. Yeah. So I'm Ashley Allison. Mm-hmm. Two first names, both start with A. People always call me Allison, and it literally is like one of my biggest pet peeves. Mm. And I understand how it's like the last thing you hear is the first thing you remember.
Right.
So I often just introduce myself as Ashley. And as someone, even though I will correct people in saying Kamala's name right, I rarely actually correct people in saying my name, like when they give me the wrong name, because it technically is one of my names, but it's just not my first name. But talking about adding a little seasoning, this is why I mean intent. I do believe what you're saying, Reese, in that like the Kamala, the Kamabala, whatever they're gonna say is like, it's intentionally diminishing. Waltz is how we hear it. Because you know, there are other words. Like for example, I'm from the Midwest, so I naturally said Rihanna.
Yes.
But then when I got to New York, people were like, it's Rihanna. And I'm like, oh. And then I just saw a clip and it's like, no, it actually is Rihanna.
Yes.
So that long Midwest A, I was hitting on something. But like, how many of your moms say Walmarts?
Oh, my family is definitely like
about Walmart. To go to Walmart.
Uh-huh, let's go to Walmarts.
Yeah.
Kroger's.
Kroger's, Targets.
Targets.
Yes, all of that stuff. And even with the Rihanna thing, I think in my brain, it's the difference between aunt and aunt.
Yes.
So it's something like you want to say the or, well, New Yorkers and Jersey people want to say Rihanna. Mm-hmm. Like it's a different A. So that my brain don't do that.
I say aunt and aunt depending on the person.
Ooh.
Okay. Okay.
You say aunt to white
people. I
have
an aunt. No. No.
How does it become racial?
It's always racial with me, Reese.
I have an aunt Wendy and an aunt Florida.
Okay.
Ooh.
Okay.
And I'm not sure why.
Yeah.
I think but I do.
Florida. Mm. Where Florida at?
Is it like,
she sound like
it
she
Florida
could cook.
Or Flor R E? E D, Florida.
Florida,
but oh, okay.
Florida,
but it's Florida. I love it.
Oh, like her name.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was like, I thought you were trying to call me out how I say Florida. I
no,
was like,
no,
am I
going
to say Florida?
Florida.
Because, you know, Black people don't have a name.
Y'all, I literally was like shuddering inside. Like, have I been pronouncing the state of Florida wrong this whole time? Florida. It's F-L-O-R-I-T-A.
Okay, okay, got Florida. It. Yeah. So I found out I was saying women wrong. I have to work really hard to say it because I would say woman. And like somebody sent me hate mail, like literally emailed me like, I hate the way that you say woman and you say it wrong all the time. And I was
woman,
like,
woman, woman.
Apparently it's like women, not woman. Like
nah,
I was
saying, it's woman.
You say woman?
Yeah. Who talk about women?
I don't know what I say now.
Yeah, no, because I didn't think it was, I didn't think I was saying it wrong, but they were like, they were really adamant. And I was like, F you, da-da-da-da. Keep saying how I'm gonna say it. And then I asked my husband, I was like, am I saying women wrong? And then he was like, oh, I thought you just said it like that on purpose. So you say woman.
Yeah. Okay. I also say kindergarten.
Kindergarten. I think kindergarten works.
But then like people in high school were like, why do you say it like that?
Yeah.
It's kindergarten. And I'm like, or kindergarten.
Yeah.
Kindergarten's hilarious.
Kindergarten.
Okay, help me settle something. How do you say Idris Elba or do you say Idris?
Oh, I say Idris.
Idris, which one is it? Is it Idris, Idris? What is it?
I don't know him. I don't know him personally.
Oh, I was about to be like, alert, 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 alert.
I've never met him. He's never told me.
We're about to cancel you.
I don't believe in pulling cards, but you
are. She's like, I'm not getting involved with the names.
Oh, no. Yeah,
I'm an Idris. I'm a hard vowel girl because it's kind of like when Trump, like, talking about hard vowels.
Yeah.
Black. Ooh. Like a hard K.
It's like five syllables.
Black.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to try so hard.
Blacks.
The blacks.
And the blacks.
I hate the blacks.
The blacks.
I hate adding S to black.
Yeah. Now, that we can add S to Walmart.
Yes.
But don't add S to blacks. Blacks.
That's
we are not
giving
the blacks.
Hard ER.
I don't like that.
It's giving a softer version
I don't like
of
that hard S.
Well, I used to say, okay, during Charlottesville, I guess I hadn't really been saying the word white supremacist a lot, but I was calling them white supremacists or something. Like I was adding like an extra ST.
Uh-huh.
And somebody was like, I just want you to know, like, don't go on television and say that. And I was like,
yes.
But I think the pull to the side and be like, hey, baby, like a little auntie, like, hey, this is how. And then if you make a mistake again, it's like, okay, well, try harder.
Yeah. Don't correct me on TV.
Don't correct me on TV.
Pull
unless you're
side.
Doing it on purpose.
Right. Yeah.
And you can tell intent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Intent is a lot.
Intent's the name of the game.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So walls.
Walls. Well, you can't say from the windows to the walls. That doesn't work.
No.
Window to the wall.
Okay.
That works. I think we can agree on that.
I think we are building something here that is going to be hugely impactful, not just this year, but in so many years to come.
Being a part of a very historical moment, like having some really critical conversations.
Yeah, debate is crazy.
Modern Whole Media seems to be supremely focused on bringing real people into real conversation about real issues, and I want to be where real people are.
In this moment, I am finding hope and
the love that I have for my children.
It's the next generation.
The black joy that I'm seeing around the country.
We need to tell our own stories. We need to not just be consumers. We need to shape the narrative.
The political climate that we're in, man, like having some really dope conversations is really important.
That gives me hope for tomorrow that we're gonna be all right.
I love, love, love the Olympics. But I wanted to pick out one person in particular, and that is Simone Biles, who you might not have heard her name a lot in this Olympics because she did not qualify. Mm. And she is a swimmer. I believe she won gold in Rio, was when she first came on the stage. But she has really been talking a lot about she worked so hard and then she feels like she failed because she didn't qualify. And so I'm curious what your experience have been with failure, how you are able to take something that didn't go the way you wanted it to and make it into a positive. She has really been vulnerable about that, but it's not something we often get to do as people, particularly black women.
You have to fail
Yeah. And failure to me is a state of mind, I think, you know. She's already an Olympian.
Right.
You can't take that away from her. A black female swimmer, okay, they told us we don't swim. They told us because of our hair. Right.
We couldn't get in the pool.
Water, right?
Our bone density. We couldn't flow.
Absolutely. So she already turned all of that on its head. And I look at everyone's path. There is no one who's successful that has not had some bumps in the road. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've bombed on stage in front of many people as a comedian, and that's what separates, you know, the women from the girls, because you gotta come back from the bombs.
Yes.
So not qualifying for the Olympics this year is just a bomb on a very international stage, but she ain't gonna let that stop her.
Also, you were already on the stage, girl.
Absolutely, you on
There's
the stage.
That part.
You
that
on
part.
The stage. Yeah. And you know, sometimes it don't go the way you thought it was gonna go, but you gotta release that from your brain.
I think we all have to define success for ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, in the Olympics, you're literally in competition with other people, but everybody's Olympic journey is unique, you know? Yeah. And there are some people who are like, I'm just happy to be here. And there are some people that are like, I need to get the gold. I need to repeat. And then it's like, I need to break records. And so each person puts different pressure on themselves. Mm-hmm. I know for me, I don't know if I would call anything I've done a failure, because nothing I've done is supposed to have put me where I am right now. Mm. And so I think what I'm learning to do is really celebrate my accomplishments and be gracious to myself in realizing that, I mentioned earlier about VP, you know, my pedigree isn't what typically gets you in the spaces that I've gotten myself into. And so I think that, you know, particularly as black women, we really have to define success for ourselves, because the entire world is waiting to knock you off. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you did that, but you ain't do it like this. And well, do you have X, Y, and Z?
Yes.
And now, so you still ain't, you know? And so as long as people are giving that energy out there, they're gonna always, there's always gonna be some label of failure that people are gonna put on you. So you have to reject that and really stand firm in what is success to me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't say this to sound like an egomaniac or a narcissist, but I was also trying to explore, like, what have my recent failures been? Mm-hmm. And I couldn't name them, because people often think of, there's a fly. You are not about to like pinch me, okay?
I'm speaking.
Okay, you are not about to land on this, all right? So be gone.
Yeah.
No, but I think that a lot of times when things don't work out, people assign that to a label of failure.
Yeah.
When things don't work out, I ask, I wonder what I'm not supposed to be doing over there. Mm. And then I think, oof, for that one thing that I'm not supposed to be over there, I wonder what all the 99 other possibilities are. Mm-hmm. And let me start to explore those.
Yeah.
Rather than just being like stuck. Mm. The failure is when you get stuck. But I think everything is a learning experience. And again, look, I wanted to be a cheerleader when I was in high school.
Okay.
And I should have made the team. Mm. I got cheated, okay?
Mm.
I did. But not making the cheerleading squad actually led me into playing basketball and being a really good athlete and learning more about my body and my, just like, how to control. And it just wouldn't, and things about working hard and like pushing, like talking about grinding, like, knowing the difference between pushing so hard that you're in pain and pushing through the pain to get to the other side of excellence. Mm-hmm. And those are lessons that I like constantly really got to hone in as an adult. But that's like probably the last time I've seen something and been like, I failed at this, versus being like, I didn't have the wisdom to be like, that wasn't where I was supposed to be.
Yeah.
There was all this other stuff I was supposed to be doing over here.
Yeah.
I got a huge gig last year that I booked. That was my dream job. And that has since gone away. Mm. And I could have thought that was a failure in my life. But in my head, I was like, wait a minute. I booked it.
Mm. Yeah.
I did book it. So I'm going to book other things.
Yeah.
And, you know, that show's falling apart. So.
But not just that. Not just that.
Yeah.
We had a conversation about this. We was in the ocean in the Bahamas.
We were in the ocean in the Bahamas.
And she was telling me about this experience. Mm. And in that moment, I was like, I don't really know you that well. We had met one time before, and then we had spent a couple days together at this event. And in that moment, I was like, I'm building Watering Hole Media, and I wonder if she would like want to be the like founding co-host.
Ew.
And yes. I was like so nervous when I asked her to join. I was like, she's gonna be like, this is below me. And she was like, yeah, of course.
Absolutely, it was a no-brainer. And I would rather be here. This seems like a safer space, to say the very least.
So thank you, boo. Celebrating.
Yes, absolutely celebrating. And to me, I was like, I could have looked at that as a failure.
Sorry.
It did depress me for a couple of weeks, but now I'm like, you know what? Onward and upward.
That's one. What's the other 99?
What's the other 99? I got 99 problems and that show ain't one.
Being booked ain't one, honey.
I'm booked and busy.
Booked and busy.
Okay, wait. I do have, did you guys see the 400 meter race? Quincy Hall.
Yes, I saw that.
Oh, wow, he came from like fourth?
Listen, bruh was fighting for his life. And was I mean, slow-mo, and he tracked them down.
He did.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
And as I saw that, I was like, I'm going to keep running because a winner never quits on themselves.
Yes, absolutely.
That. And that was, like, personified.
Yeah, yeah.
It's mine.
Mind over matter.
Yeah. Because what I saw happening a lot of the semifinals were the guys kept kind of looking at each other. Mm-hmm. They'd be looking at, and I was like, I thought the first rule of track was just to run and finish the race.
Finish your race.
But then I saw, for especially specifically the 100 meter one, they were not looking at each other for that because you don't have time. It's less than 10 seconds.
Right.
So I felt that way for that one where it's like, keep running.
Yes.
And get to the end and you might pass somebody.
And he passed
he sure did.
One, two, three. Somebody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was beautiful. And then there was an interview of his brother, and it was so sweet. He was just like, he got his words out, but he ended up finally was like, just take the camera off of me, y'all. Like, he was just so happy.
He's crying on camera.
He was crying, smiling, laughing. It was the whole spectrum of emotions except for anger. You know what I mean? It was just like disbelief, belief, joy. And it just was a reminder that, like, even hard things can be joyful.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. That's what she said.
Mm. Period.
Everything is fine in that cocktail that you always wish you had.
Watering Hole Media takes chances on people who may have big or small platforms but have a voice that matters.
We can really share and give opinions that people may not feel represented on television.
Because everything is fine, right? Wrong.
My unsolicited takes, if they're being solicited, oh yeah.
That's a hot take.
What gives me hope?
Our people.
Gen Z gives me hope.
And seeing that people care.
The fact that I know regardless of what happens in this world, we will always be okay because we have community.
I think it's so important to have spaces like this where we can come and just have real talk.
Well, you know, we were talking about the Olympics. One of my favorite moments of all of these Olympic Games was the three Black Girl Magic podium with Rebecca Andre. I don't normally root for, you know, anybody outside of USA, but I wanted that for her. She got the gold. You had Jordan Chiles and you had Simone Biles, and the sportsmanship, the camaraderie.
Yes.
Even though they had a language barrier, I didn't realize that, but that moment on the podium where Simone and Jordan, I was here for it.
And then she grabbed their hands.
Yes.
It was perfection.
Yeah, I root for people in other countries when they're Black.
Yeah, I root for everybody Black. Yeah,
exactly. We root for everybody Black. Yeah. So I was like, Rebecca, you go on, girl. Mm-hmm. You better get up there. I loved it.
Yeah.
Now, this is a PG-13 program, but can we talk about the pole vaulters for a second?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like they all need better underwear.
Compression.
What is happening?
Like, we have Spanx, people.
Exactly. They all need it.
Tighten it up.
The track runners, too. I was like, we got to see all the prints and everything. Okay.
And at that, we're going to leave it there.
All right.
All right. So at the end of every show, we give women their flowers. I'll start. Well.
Yes.
Believe it or not, it's already back to school.
Oh, yes. I don't know anything about that.
Me either,
care.
Girl. But my sister's a teacher, so sorry, boo. But she's been on for the last 2 months anyway. So I want to give my flowers to one of my old teachers.
Oh.
My kindergarten teacher.
Oh.
Mrs. Wilt. Mrs. Wilt was the personification of grace, compassion. You ever just meet someone that's like, you just feel their purity, like just pure of heart? And she really, out of all the teachers I have had in life, like, I've always felt like people don't see me. But there was something about, and I've been reflecting on this more as I'm an adult, there was something about the way Miss Wilt looked at me, the way Miss Wilt spoke to me, and the way Miss Wilt talked to my parents about me, that knew that I was special and that I wasn't going to be like the other ones, and that that was okay, and we were going to have create space for, you know, that like, I just was a little different, and different is good. So thanks, Miss Will. I don't even know if she's like still alive or not, but like, because she was probably in her 50s when she was my teacher, so she would be up there. But she was my favorite teacher, kindergarten, and really had an imprint on me.
That's sweet. I'm going to give it to my mom, Mrs. Yvette Outlaw. You know, I'm very independent and I don't ask permission for anything. And I always like to march to the beat of my own drum. But she's been helping me with my receipt with the receipts thing, being my little research assistant. And
I mean,
you know, unpaid, it's all volunteer, but you know, she's like, I'm just worried about you because, you know, you're doing so much. But I appreciate that this is that she knows I'm passionate about certain things. And so she has taken it upon herself, as busy as she is, to help me. And so, I mean, that's not the only reason why she deserves her flowers, but just specifically, I would say for this week, yes. I'm gonna give her flowers for really just always being an amazing mom, but for taking something off my plate and but still allowing me to do what I love to do.
Leave it to a mama to pull the receipts.
Yes. For her baby, I love that. I'm gonna give my flowers to Simone Manuel and Shelly-Ann Frazier and all of the women in the Olympics who didn't get to where I think they wanted to, you know? And I honestly think that that's an amazing story. You know, Shelly-Ann Frazier ended up having to drop out because of an injury. There were a number of runners from Jamaica that had to drop out. Simone Manuel didn't qualify, but y'all are still Olympians and y'all are winners in my heart, so. Yes, shout out to all the black women in the Olympics. How about that?
You know, I just realized Miss Wilt is white and I gave her my flowers, but that's okay.
We can get white flowers.
We can get white flowers, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Give her a little carnation.
It's your show.
It's my show. I'll make the rules, people.
Yes, period.
Yes. No men, though.
Solidarity. Well, we now have solidarity more throughout the country.
We really do. We really do. And in fact, we need it now more than ever.
Oh, yeah. Hallelujah, okay? Don't we?
Yes. Now more than ever is like we all can have a seat at the table. You don't even need to bring your own chair. We will have chairs for you.
Yes.
Just make sure when we come to your table, you got a chair for us too.
It's the end of the show. Thanks for watching Wait a Minute. Be sure to let us know what you think about the topics discussed in the comments. Also, don't forget to subscribe and turn on your notifications. You can find us on the socials at Watering Hole Media. And that's all for now. See you next week.